In my family, when we start to see that things are kind of getting a little off, we do what's called a family meeting. How many of you guys have those in your house? We go, okay, family meeting, everybody comes together. There's not very many people that do that. Wow. Do you do that? Luke wanted me to mention me today in his sermon, so that's Luke over there. Is that good? Single, good-looking guy. You owe me $5. But what we do is we come back together when things are not functioning as they're supposed to function. When things are a little off, we come back together so that we can kind of get all on the same track. So that when we go out, we're functioning in unison. We're functioning as a team. And we're doing what we're supposed to. And that's what we do in our family. And I want to do that today, if you will give me the permission to do that. In this church, we have lots of different teachers that you will hear from when Pastor is gone. You know, Pastor Jim is an astounding teacher. Amen?
Amen.
None of the like him that I know or I have met in the time that I have been in ministry and have... Is this the white line I'm not supposed to walk past right there? None other have I met like Pastor Jim, and that's why I call this church home. But I'm not Pastor Jim. And that's not my gifting. I'm a preacher. He's a teacher. Can I preach this morning? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and it's not going to be our only text today. I usually will spend my time in majority of, in one place in Scripture, but we're going to jump around today, and we're also going to do something else. On the screens, you're going to see our logo, but you are not going to see the text today because God gave you a tool, and it's in your hands. If you don't have a Bible, there's one on the sides, but you need to use it. Amen? And so we're not going to put it up there today. So if I mention a piece of Scripture, you should probably jot it down or flip to it as fast as you can, because that is a tool that we need to learn how to use effectively. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just to preface where I'm going to come from today, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, first five verses, it says, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come to you with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaim to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and in fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." That's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to just rely on the Holy Spirit. How about that? So let's start this out right. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we've all come into this place from different weeks, different families, different situations. But what we have come to do is to hear from you today. That's all I want. I want to step out of the way. I may be the one up front here, Father, that you're going to use today, but I would like to step out of the way and allow your voice to be heard today. And I pray that we would all listen carefully to what it is that you want to tell us today. What's the warning, Father? What do you want to rally us around? What do we need to hear? Our ears are open and our hearts are open too. In your name we pray. Amen. So I think we would all agree that the hour is getting late. Amen? Not in the day, but before Christ comes and returns to take His church home. Amen? Looking forward to that? I am. I'm ready. I pray some days. Come on, take me home today, Lord. You know? Make it clean. I want to go fast, but take me home today because I'm getting tired of how this world is. I don't know. I'm 47 years old. I know we have some of you younger and some of you much older than 47 years old, but in my 47 years, this world has gone down. And in this last 10 years, it seems to have gone down really, really fast. Things are starting to get pretty dark. There's some weird stuff happening out there. In this last few years, it has seemed like things have changed. I mean, there's always been sin. Satan's always been at work. He's always been trying to grab the attention of men and keep them where they're at and keep them away from God. We know that, but in this last few years, things are getting really, really strange. And the things that people are accepting and allowing to be a part of their lives and that they're proclaiming and what's on the news and what is all around us, it's just becoming very, very dark. And the one thing that was disturbing to me, and Pastor Jim and I have talked about this many times, is it used to be, and maybe some of you will remember this, you could say, in talking about something. Well, you know, God's word says, and it didn't even matter if that person was not saved or not. There was some authority still behind that. Do you remember that? There was a time. There's some people that always have turned their back on it, but that is now gone, according to the world. And honestly, for some Christians, it's now gone too. That it's not the authority. We just kind of float around there and do whatever we want. So we've lost that authority, and it's really disturbing to me. And probably the thing that is the most disturbing to me and what I want to talk about today is this growing hatred towards Christians. Folks, we're hated. We are hated in the news. We're hated online. We're hated among the people that are out there in the world. Because of what we believe and that we follow Jesus Christ. Used to be you were called a hypocrite if you believe something and you didn't do what it says. But we believe it and we walk according to it, and now we hate. And we should walk according to it. Because we stand for the true word of God, we hate. Because we're not willing to tolerate. Oh, don't we love that word? That's thrown around a lot now, isn't it? Because we don't accept other lifestyles or other beliefs that are out in the world, then we hate. And I have a problem this morning. Here's my problem. I think that assessment of us is kind of correct. I think we're starting to paint the wrong picture of the Lord that we serve. Can I be real this morning about that? So now, I'm going to be clear about something. I'm not here to compromise God's word today. I see that too often. That's disturbing to me. I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my tool. This is how I know what is right and what is wrong. And His Holy Spirit functions within the bounds of this. And He shows me, and I'm not going to change it. And I'm not going to bow down to something else. I'm not going to take something out, and I'm not going to put something in. It's the truth. It is the truth. We can't change God's word. And that's disturbing today too, because I see a lot of Christians in the world who are feeling bad because the church is painting this picture of hate. So let's soften things. How can you truly love somebody and soften this word? That's not love. I drink a lot of water. I talk a lot. Don't say that. But what God has been speaking to me personally very strongly about, and that's what I want to talk about today, because this message started with me. And that is that this damaging of our witness. What is our witness? Well, Webster's Dictionary defines witness as a person who makes a statement in a court about what he or she knows or has seen. One who has personal knowledge of something or something serving as evidence or proof. My life should be that. My words, all of my words, should be that. They should be a witness. Every word, every action, every inaction paints a picture of the God that we serve, that I serve. And I believe that the church lately, and I'm going to say the church, who's the church? We all are, right? People across town, across the street, anybody that has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we are the church. Doesn't matter what the name is on the front, we're all in this together. But I believe that the church today is driving more people away from God than he is bringing people into the church, bringing people into the kingdom. That's disturbing to me. And if we're honest with ourselves and we look around, you would agree with that. I mean, again, we have people at the altar here, and you know what? We reach out and we do those things. I'm not going to just pick on everybody out there. And just so we're clear, I never ever point any message at, if I'm going to point a message at anybody, I'm pointing at myself, okay? So I'm standing before you saying that I have probably done this. Not probably, I have. We're driving people away because of a poor or incorrect witness about Jesus Christ our Savior. We're not representing Him very well. I need to tell you where this has all started for me. Some of you know that, well, you know that I'm the assistant pastor here at the church. We've been here for many years, and God's blessed us here, and I love what I do here. But in this last year, there was an addition to what myself and my wife do. About a year ago, a little over a year ago, actually. Hey, there's my wife back there. Hi, honey. Everybody's going to look at you now. Kelly and I on our way, and the kids were on our way back from Iowa, and we were in the car, and we're traveling, and we like to listen to a lot of talk radio while we're driving. Anybody else like talk radio? Hey, when you're coming across Nebraska, there ain't anything else but talk radio and country music. So, and I like the country music, but my, Olivia and me, we're country music, but not the rest of the family. So we listened to a lot of talk radio, and we were listening to Dave Ramsey. You guys listen to Dave? And we were listening to all of his shows and people talk and testimonies about what God had done with their finances and those things. And as we began to talk and just back and forth, just talking about the subject, we kind of felt like, you know, maybe God's telling us we need to really get serious about, you know, paying off our debt and being just, you know, be better stewards of what we've been given. I don't have a lot of debt, but we have some. And so, you know, I thought, you know, maybe this is what God's trying to put on our hearts. And so what Kelly and I always do is in the midst of a conversation, if we feel that God's leading in that way, we'll say, let's just commit to pray about it together. She prays, I pray, we pray together, and God always confirms exactly what we're supposed to do. So that was where it all started. And so weeks went by, and there's a little coffee shop downtown that I have spent probably 15 years of my life sitting in front of and sitting in, and just because I like the environment, I enjoy it. And I was there, and I know the owner, and we were sitting there one day, and he was sharing with me some of his struggles in managing this little place, and some of they'd come through a fire, and long story short, he was really in the depths of near depression, and God made it very clear on my heart right then that I was supposed to act and do something. Now, if you're married and you have ever counseled with me, there is something that I always tell you, and that is that you should never, husbands, wives, act independently of your other spouse. The way God intended it is that we would work together as one flesh. And even when it comes to the decisions that are made and the things that we do, what Kelly and I always do is you come up to me and you go, hey, you should come over for dinner. I'm like, food, cool. But I don't say yes. I say I need to talk to my wife. God presents something to us that's an opportunity, or I'm thinking about something that we come together, we talk about it, and we pray about it, and then God makes it clear. This was one of the very first times in our marriage that God said, you need to step up and you need to give of yourself to this man. You need to say, you know what, let me help. And so he did. And so for the last year, I've been working for, in my extra time, God makes it. I've been working for this little coffee shop downtown. Many of you prayed for them. And you know what, God, what I went into it thinking was, this will be cool. This is the job that God provided so I can make a little extra money. And it's really flexible. And this is what it's all about. It's about me paying off our debt. Cool. This is it. God, thank you. Thank you so much. This is awesome. But that's not really what he wanted. It really has nothing to do about finances. And I'm just going to share this with you because I take the same wage that the employees do there. Minimum wage. And my wife, who spends more time than I do in working with this, she takes no salary whatsoever. You're like, what? Because what God's made us realize, it's not about money. We thought it was about helping this family out, their Christian family. We love them dearly and thought that was what it was going to be about. It was about helping them out. And it is about helping them out. But that's really not what it's about either. See, God's taught us some things there that I could have never put a price tag on and I would have never planned. And probably the most important thing that he's taught me there, because this is my first time back out in the working world. I know you guys work out in the world all the time, most of you. And so I've worked for big corporations. I worked for Home Depot Corporation. I ran a painting company. I've been out there. Not a problem. Not a problem whatsoever. But this last many years, I've been here at the church and serving you. And I love it. I love doing that. I love making sure that this church, things run smoothly in the background and there's things that I do that you'll never know and I don't want you to know and I don't care because that's not what it's about. It's about serving you. But being out there again has, God wanted to bring me back to reality and show me something that I was doing wrong, that I was screwing up my witness when I was out in the world. Because what he's done is made me look at him through the eyes of those people who don't believe. He's made me look at him through the eyes of unbelievers. And he's had to correct me. You see, Kelly and I's heart's passion, it always has been, since we came together and became a husband and wife, is about seeing people saved. That's all it's really about. That's all I've ever really wanted. That's the biggest high, is when I can kneel down next to someone who is destined for hell and be able to say a few words with them and lead them in a prayer and know that when they stand up, they're a child of the King. It's the most awesome feeling in the world. You know why it is? Because that's what we were created to do. That's what the gift that we've been given. I'm going to give you the scripture that we're going to end up on at the end of the sermon, and that is, well, that was pretty sad. I couldn't remember it off the top of my head. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and that is that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. You know that scripture. You're not going to just stay there, so don't lock into that page. So we have a passion for seeing people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and lots of people come through our midst. Working back in the world, even though I work for a Christian company and a Christian man, I got to tell you, it's forced me to be very careful of the words that I speak. Now, some of you work for corporations where you are not allowed to talk about Jesus Christ, don't you? Anybody out there? You work for corporations where you have to walk very carefully. You probably have the opportunity to be able to share the gospel if they ask a question and you're in the midst of a conversation. But for you to walk through proclaiming the gospel and waving your Bible and whatever, is you get in trouble for that. You get fired. I, on the other hand, I'm not helped by that. The people that own this business love the Lord, and they have no problem whatsoever if I would share the gospel with whoever I want. That's not why God has shown me that I have to watch my words and what I say. I'm an outspoken person. You can say amen. And I know the word well enough to stand my ground against people who want to come against it. It's not an issue. But in the process of finding this job, of being back out and working with people, I found something out about myself that I greatly, greatly dislike. And I found myself to be a judgmental Christian. I found that myself to be judging the people in this world who don't know Jesus Christ because of their sins, because of their lifestyles, because of their actions, because of how they feel about Jesus Christ. My heart would often become hardened off to people, and the words that I would share or how I would deal with those things, it was probably very subtle, but I'm pretty sure they saw it. And I believe that the church is doing the same thing. I believe that we are seeing a growing number of people in the church who are becoming more and more judgmental about the people in the world. No amen on that one. The church is driving people away from the kingdom of God because of this attitude, this judging of people in the world. You know, I don't know about you. If you're online, we live in a very digital world now. And it seems as though it is the hottest thing to do as a Christian to jump on some of these topics that are out there. And they are, don't get me wrong, there are things that are going on in the world that I'll see those news articles or articles that are in Christian journals, and they'll talk about, well, let's just use one because I'm going to tell you honestly where God showed me that I was judging people, and that was towards the gay and lesbian community, the homosexual community that we see rising up and being more outspoken. I'm just going to be honest. And we see things that are posted out there and things that are said online and said that things that are said by Christians in the news about this community, about these people. And it comes off so harsh and so hateful towards them. I know it's not intended to be that way, but it is. It's the wrong message. What's happening is, as Christians, we are focusing more on the sin than the sinner. Where did we get off track? That's not our job. It is not our job to focus on the sins of this world. Because let me ask you this, what sin do I need to get rid of before I come to Jesus Christ? I just dump myself before Him. He just wants to save me. But we have focused in on this, and I think what's happened is we are painting this picture that it is nearly impossible for some of these people to come to the foot of the cross. Don't get me wrong, I think we need to stand up for what's right. But do you remember back when, and this was all over the news, and I think this is one of the, well, not one of the first things, but one thing I can think of is when the founder of Chick-fil-A came out to stand up against, or to stand for traditional marriage. Some of the things that came out of that, and some of the Christians that said things to people at those stores, I'll say Christians, was so hateful. It wasn't drawing them in. It wasn't showing them God's love. It was condemning them. It was judging them for their sin. And they just needed to know that there is a God who loves them and that wants to save them and wants to have a relationship with them. That's what they need to know. So, you know what you do, right? When you're starting to feel convicted about something, you go to God's Word to try and prove that you really shouldn't be convicted. Amen? Come on. So I go, you know, God, I know all over Scripture it talks about sexual sins, and I need to stand strong on this, and I need to be this way and have this attitude and project this, and every time someone says something, I say, it's an abomination, and be in their face about it. And then he took me to that Scripture that in chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You know that one, right? If you don't, you can flip there. It talks about sexual immorality. Now, it talks about sexual immorality inside the church. Got to be clear about that. Talks about some things that were going on within the church that were terrible. There were sexual relationships going back and forth between people that shouldn't even have been together at all, let alone in any kind of improper sexual context. And what it says in there is how we deal with that within the church. Now, that's the topic of another sermon, because I know some of you are going to read that maybe for the first time and go, whoa, would you kick somebody out of the church because they evolved with sin to turn them over to Satan? The intent of judgment within the church is always to try and bring that brother or sister back to the foot of the cross and back into obedience with God's Word. That's the purpose of those things within the church. And like I said, that's the topic of another sermon. But Paul starts to give some instructions about how to deal with things, and he comes down to verse 9 in chapter 5, and this is what I read. I wrote to you in my letter, a previous letter, not to associate with sexually immoral people. There you go! We're good! I don't have to do this! I don't have to play this game! It tells me very clearly right there that I'm not supposed to do that. And not just sexually immoral people, but any kind of sinful people. I don't need to hang out with those people. I'm supposed to separate ourselves, right? I mean, we're Christians. We hang out with Christians. We listen to Christian music. We go to Christian people's homes. We go to Christian businesses. That's what we're supposed to do. Keep ourselves pure. It's easy to stop there. But that's not where it stops. And he goes on in verse 10, he says, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or greedy or swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I'm writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister in Christ, but is sexually immoral or greedy or adulterer or slander or drunk. Well, wait a minute. We're not cool with that, right? I mean, we'll easily turn our backs on somebody that's shared something that they're doing that we see that is out of the context of God's Word. We won't say anything. We'll keep it quiet. But boy, we will sure speak up when it's out in the world. Do not even eat with such people. What business is it of mine to judge those outside of the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. And I have to tell you that the reason I'm sharing this morning, and my family can tell you, is this something that has been stuck in my head and ringing in my head because of what I see going on around me. We've been judging. I want you to take a self-assessment. That's what we're doing right now. We've been judging people who are outside of Christ in our words, in our actions, in our deeds. Our words are very judgmental in their eyes, and it closes off doors quite often when we don't handle it correctly. Our words can make it sound as though they can never come to God. See, that's the worst thing of all, because I think that's what we're projecting, that there is this picture that whatever your sin is, because, you know, in this world today, people have connected with their sin in a way that I've never seen before. I'm proud to be who I am. I mean, when I was in sin, I didn't want to wear a t-shirt that said, look at me, drunkard. Well, actually, I probably did. It probably said Budweiser or something like that. Idolater. Yeah. Thief. But that's changed. Our words can make it sound like we hate. And if we present the picture that we hate the people in this world who are without Jesus Christ, then we paint the picture that the God that we serve hates the people in this world who don't know Him. That's the part that's disturbing to me. And the reason is, we've gotten our focus off. We think that we're the ones that are supposed to judge. Again, like I said, we've gotten our focus on the sin and not the sinner. We have gotten off purpose. We know what our job is. We can read it and we say amen. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm out there to represent. But then we go off and we categorize people. We judge them. Hate the sin. Love the sinner. Amen? We say that a lot, don't we? Now, it's a nice cliche saying, but it is not in Scripture, just so you know. There's things that we say that are not in Scripture, but there is something that's quite like it, and that's in the book of Jude in chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, which says something of the same nature, which is, be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. So according to this, our evangelism should be characterized by mercy for the sinner and a healthy hatred for the sin and the effects of the sin. Amen? We are here to, as a comparison, on our sins to... I got from my notes there. We are to have a compassion on sinners for whom Christ died. We're also to help, also to keep ourselves from being pulled into the sins of this world. I agree with that, and polluted by this world. We have a hard time with that. See, we look at Christ Jesus, it's very easy for Him, the Son of God, to love the man and hate the sin. Very easy for Him to do, but we are humans and we are flesh and we can't seem to get that down. What often happens is our hatred turns from the hatred of the sin and we put it on to the sinner themselves. Gotta be careful about that. Hate starts flowing and it's not of God. The Bible clearly states that God is love. Amen? 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 says, whoever does not love does not know God. Whoever does not love does not know God. Because God is love. And this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live with Him forever. So how do we do this? Maybe you found yourself being judgmental about those people. Maybe there's some people in the world, and you know, God may have pulled me in through the homosexual community. Maybe there's something else, someone else, maybe from your past there's been some damage. Maybe for those people who are drunkards or drug addicts because of your past or maybe someone in your life, you have a hard time dealing with and you're finding yourself projecting hate. How do we do that? So how do we not show hate, show love, and not accept someone's sins? How's that work? We're supposed to love sinners. And we show love for sinners by showing them respect as human beings. We are all created in God's image. How many people in this world does God not love? How many people in this world does God hate? He created them all in His image, and my Bible says that He wants all of them to come to salvation. He wants to have a personal relationship with every one of them. There is none that He hates in this world, because for Him to create something that He hates is just not right. We need to show them respect as human beings. We need to pray for them, and we need to witness to them about Christ Jesus. I want to say this statement very clearly. It is a true act of love to treat someone with respect and kindness even though we do not approve of his or her lifestyle or sinful choices. Let me read it again. It is a true act of love to treat someone with respect and kindness, even though you do not approve of his or her lifestyle or sinful choices. I have a book. It's a good book. It's written by a man named Chad Thompson. Chad Thompson was a man who was, because of the situations and how he grew up and what was going on in his life, that he struggled with thoughts of homosexuality and was on the verge of going into that lifestyle, and the whole homosexual community was courting him, trying to get him to see, this is who you are, this is what you need, this is what will bring you value, this is where you need to go. And they were trying to bring him in. He was in the college system, and that was what they wanted to show him. This is who you are. Come on in. There's love, there's acceptance here. But one of the coolest things happened is that Chad found a church. And he didn't find a church like one that is, there's some that are out there that are very judgmental about people. And when he walked in the door, would have went, oh my gosh, look, you know. But he found what he needed. And what he needed was something so, so simple. He needed love from a man of God. Not sexual love. Just love. He talks about the very moment in which he came to this church and he began to share where he was at, and where an older man in the church just went and wrapped his arms around him and told him that he loved him and that God loved him. And he said at that moment, he melted, and everything that Satan was trying to take away, gone. He was wholeheartedly accepted into the kingdom of God. And not because of they were accepting his lifestyle or his choices, but they were just showing him love. But they also had to tell him the truth about God's word. We don't pull any punches here, do we? Then what's preached from this pulpit is the truth. And if you ever question, and we've had people, guys, when we've gone over different subjects and topics and pastor or teachers, for those of us who sit at the back and make sure things are running smooth, you can tell when we hit hard spots, people get up, they walk out. I don't know if anybody's done that yet today, but we'll see. Dwayne, don't get up. But it is not a loving thing to allow someone to stay stuck in sin either. There is a way that we need to be able to share what sin can do and the damaging effects of it. It's not hateful to tell a person he or she is in sin. It's not. Sin leads to death. And if we love the sinner, we love the sinner by speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. And we hate the sin by refusing to condone it, ignore it, or excuse it. Now, my struggle is, how do we do this when, like I said, this world has come to a place where people find their identity in their sin? Share a little background from you as I share with you that this is where God's really been speaking to me about, which is ironic because very early on as a young man, in the church that Kelly and I met in, back in Iowa, there was a man in our church who had left the homosexual lifestyle. His name was Doug. Doug was a great guy. And I needed a place to live, and Doug needed a place to live. And so Doug and I became roommates for 2 years. No, I was not gay. Just be clear about that. Doug went through 2 years of struggle, and I got to watch that played out. I got to be a support to him, an encouragement to him, and for us to just be good friends. So I see this picture of the identity that's been behind it. He showed me that very clearly, that in the gay and lesbian community, there is this identity that brings value. This is who I am. So my question becomes, how do I get past that exterior, that front, not just gay and lesbian, but any sin whatsoever? How do I get past that? How do we as Christians be able to take that message of love to them without driving them away or without showing them hate? Because as soon as I start talking about their sin, they just want to walk away. So how do I do that? How can I show them this love? that God has for them? And this has been a question that Kelly and I ask ourselves every day as we go into that little coffee shop and as we work with, we have about 11 or 12 employees and all of these people that come through that we get to know. And many of them come from lifestyles like that. And I have employees who are very militant about how they feel. How do I do that? Because I don't really want to manage a coffee shop. I really want to show people Jesus Christ. I really want to show them love. He just happens to be where he put us. So how do I do that? And I want to share with you just a couple steps of what God has been showing me on how we are to take that message to them. How are we supposed to spring back from where we're at if we become and found ourselves to become judgmental Christians? How do we get back there? In the first place, the most key place that we must start as Christians is to remember where you came from. Amen? Amen? I mean, I know people say, you know, once you become a Christian, don't look back. Oh, I love to look back. I love to look back because I know what I was before. My sin, oh, want me to share a few? I've shared with you before that if you had known me before Christ, you probably would call the cops. Maybe you might have called the cops on me. I'm not sure. I was a disgusting, sleazy, disrespectful, alcoholic, drug addict, player. I treated people as nothing. Wasn't raised that way, but that's where I was. And I love to look back because when I look back at where I was before, I realize that when I was there and before I came to know Jesus Christ, there was no way of getting out of it. But when I did find Jesus Christ, I sometimes look back and go, oh my gosh, look how far I've come. You see that? It wasn't me that did that. It was Jesus Christ and my relationship with Him that's brought me to the place that I am today. I mean, let me ask you this. Which one of us came to Christ from a place worse than anyone else? I mean, because separation from God is separation from God. Amen? It doesn't matter if you were raised in a Christian home and you were pretty good and everything was cool, and then you decided, you know, later in life, you decided to come to Christ, or whether you were out killing, murdering, and raping and pillaging, both of those things outside of Christ, outside of Christ. Now, that's the part we struggle with because we tend to want to look at those people based on their sins. But Romans, got to be in Romans, guys. Romans chapter 3, verses 22 and 23 says this. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. We got to get back there, guys. We got to remember, and we're out in this world and we're having trouble dealing with people. We got to remember where it was that God took us from, where He snatched us from, where He rescued us from that miry place where He pulled us from. Never ever forget where you were before, where God's brought you to now. And I think that's what we've kind of lost. We've stepped into this place where we're being more self-righteous Pharisees in our nice ivory tower and separated from the world sometimes. And we think so highly of ourselves because look what I am and look what God's done with me. We think ourselves better than people, but we came from the same place that those people now sit. All. You, me, and every person in this world, saved or unsaved, all have fallen short. And even though I considered myself, still do when I look back at what I was, to be the sleazeball of all sleazeballs, the chief of sinners, as Paul would say, in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, he says, you see, at just the right time, I love this, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the ungodly. He died for me before I would even recognize Him, want to have anything to do with Him, deep in my sin, deep in everything that I was, in my disgust, in this putrid state that I was in. My God died for me. See, that's the message that this world really needs to hear, is that there is a God out there that loved them so much. He was a part of creation. We were created in the Father's image. We were created in His image. And then God sent His Son to die for our sins that He knew He would commit. He's seen them in the future and He knew, and He died anyway. It says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, even though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amazing grace. Amen. He died for me. He died for every person that comes across my path, no matter what their sin is now, where they find themselves, even those who call themselves atheists, those who call them, who speak hateful words towards God, against God, those who are on the news, and every person that you can ever think of, the worst person that comes to mind when I say that, Christ died for them. So that they might be saved. So the first place that we need to take ourselves, if we're going to get back on track, and maybe, you know, as I'm preaching this, you're like, you know, you say I'm judgmental. I don't really consider myself judgmental. But guys, we're not doing a very effective job. If we truly believe that this is getting to the last hour and things are coming close, it is time for us to get seriously busy about being out there and sharing the love of God with, not just, you know, if I happen to run into somebody, if I happen to see something, you know, then I might share it. If you know, if the door's wide open and then, you know, they happen to bump up against a Bible at Walmart. And, oh, yeah. Oh, let me tell you. You know, that's not what it's about. If this late hour is getting late, we need to be serious about sharing the gospel with those who are dying and who are lost of this world. There are people in that little coffee shop that I can't leave before I see them come to the kingdom. I don't want to step through those doors and know that I had not done what I was supposed to do to be able to share the gospel with them. So the first place that we need to take ourselves back to, and we need to do that this morning, is to say, where did I come from? What was I before Christ? Because that puts things in perspective as we're out in this world and we're dealing with whoever. And the second thing that God has shown me is that I need to ask God to allow me to see others the way He sees them. Now, this has been a prayer of mine, and I've shared this probably before in sermon, probably for the last several years. I have to say that it's when I started praying this prayer for God to allow me to see this, it was through counseling. Here at the church, I have the blessing to be able to do a lot of the counseling that goes on here. And people, well, we are the product of our upbringing or what's happened in our past. And sometimes those people on the front side seem a little harsh and they're hard to deal with, and sometimes there's things presented, but I want to look past that. I've asked God, let me see past the veil. I want to see what they were, what made them where they're at today, because if we can see that, then maybe we can deal with that a little bit. I can maybe meet them where they're at, maybe say something to be able to help them. It's a dangerous thing to ask for, by the way. God, let me see them. See, God sees every person, you, me, everyone around us, as they truly are, and He loves us anyway, and I want to have that same attitude. I want to walk around with that same attitude, no matter who it is and what they've done or done against me. I want to be able to just see them with love and realize they didn't know what they were doing, or it's because of this or whatever. That's what I want to see. But I think as Christians, sometimes we want to ask that, and I've heard a few amens out there when I said that, but as Christians, we like that quick. The quick kill. We like things fast. We don't like things we want it to be easy. We don't want to spend any time in something. And what I'm finding, and God is showing me in my life, is that if I truly want to minister to somebody, if I truly want to know where they came from, then I need to spend some time with them. We don't like to do that. I mean, hanging out with the non-Christians. Are you saying I should go to the bar? I didn't say that. But I didn't say you shouldn't. I don't walk in fear anymore. God tells me to go somewhere, I'm going to go there. I want to break down those walls. And spending time with people can break down walls and let me see where they're coming from. The same gentleman that wrote this book, he's a part of a church. And they do something that actually something similar has been on my mind when we talk in perspective to the gay and lesbian community that's out there. And that is this. They have a big parade like we do here in this town. I think every town has one. And their church volunteers to be the trash pickup during the event. Some of you are like, no way. I think that's awesome. They stand for God's word. It is very well known in that community that we believe this is the word of God and we're not going to compromise it, but we also want to show you love and tell you that we care about you. We care about this city. And so they give up their time to walk around and pick up trash. It has opened many doors for them to be able to talk to people. They don't feel like they're hated. These people are here. Why are they here? They disagree with us. I disagree with you, but I don't hate you. I love you. In fact, I got something I want to tell you about, and if I could just get the opportunity, I will. We need to be out in this world. We need to be among the sinners. There's this catchphrase that we like to use that as well is not listed exactly that way in Scripture, and it says, the Bible says that we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. Amen? You said that very cautiously. But I think what has happened is we have kind of twisted that. We've given the impression that what it really means is, well, you know, we gotta be in this world. But we, you know, our main focus needs to be to keep ourselves clean and keep very focused. And that's what it's all about. But you know, we gotta be in the world. And I don't see that at all. And in fact, I think the first part of that is a bigger thing. It's a command. Get out in the world. You are my representatives. How can you represent me if you're not out there, if you're not seeking out the people who are lost, if this is all we do and we spend time with one another, we are blowing it because there are a whole lot of people out there that need to hear. And if we keep ourselves from them, we'll never ever be able to have a chance to share the gospel with them. So what it should say is, Lord, keep me from being of the world, but Lord, send me out into the world. Amen. In fact, in John chapter 17, Jesus, just prior to the crucifixion, was praying for his disciples. And this is what he said. He said, he's talking to God about them, and he says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is the truth. And as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. See, we've been given a job to go out. He's made it clear we have been sent. And that's the part that many of us struggle with. We don't want to go out and mingle with those who are not like us. I don't want to put myself in the midst of that. I talked to you about that, the church that goes out. I've actually been praying about something, and again, this is not a sermon about the gay and lesbian community. It's just where God took me. You could put any other title that you want on it. It's not about that. But I've always had this vision that one of the things that we could do as a church is to pay for and set up a booth at the gay and lesbian event. And at that booth, all we do is say, we're sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that the church has treated you this way. I'm sorry that we made you feel like lesser people. We just want to say Jesus loves you. Whoever would take that booth is going to have to take some abuse. And probably rightfully so. If we're going to stand in representation of what the church has been. If we're going to show love, we've got to be out there. Now some of you are going, not on your life am I going to do that. Okay. But are we going to sit here and then run home and stay secluded, or are we going to be out there? There's a missionary named C.T. Studd that I love. If you've been on my Facebook, you've seen me post it before. I love this quote that he has. It's a little kind of a little poem, a little rhyme, and it says this: some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell, but I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Is that great or what? That should be our motto. I don't want to sit in this church and just be protected. I want to come here and get fed in the Word and be built up, encouraged by one another, that we would pray for one another. We'd pat each other on the back and just like the football players that, no applause there from the football crowd, that would run out, you know, and they rip the banner away and we're going to go after them. And that's that attitude that we should have. That's, what'd you say? Oh, we don't have banners anymore. I'm sorry, I'm old. If we want to reach the lost and dying in this world, we're going to have to get our hands dirty. We want to stay so clean and inside our ivory towers, but we need to be where the lost are, not hidden away in some protective building. And I'm not just talking about the church. There's a purpose for this church. And this is exactly what it is, where we can come together, where we can study God's Word, where we can call each other to the carpet. There's one thing I love about this church, and if you're new here, if you get involved and you get to know people, we don't cut each other any slack, man. If something's going on, we see something's wrong. I mean, how many times have you showed up at this church and you're just not right? Something's just, you're struggling with something, and everybody wants to, hey, what's going on, man? Are you okay? Is everything all right? Everybody's, let's pray for you. Come on. And we do that here. Come on around, let's pray. And you're like, I didn't even say anything. You know, and we're all laying on hands. We'll do that. That's what a church should be. That we build each other up and encourage each other to go out and to serve. See, we are an army, and our job is to be out sharing the love of Jesus Christ with this lost and dying world. And in Colorado Springs, we have hundreds of churches. And I get the feeling sometimes as I make my way out there and as I talk to people who are in the world who do not know Jesus Christ, I get the feeling that nobody's saying anything. Or if they do, it's coming across as hateful and we're pushing people away and we're, no, you can't come into our church. We're going to come in here and this is where all the godly people hang out. And yeah, good laugh, Doug, because godly people, chief of sinners. We need to intentionally seek out and associate with the lost. How can we show them Jesus if we never interact with them? And then the third step, and I'm going to stop here. I'm not even going to go in detail on this, but it is that scripture that I gave you earlier on, and that is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21, where it talks about that we are ambassadors for Christ, what Christ did for us, and the responsibility that we have. Now, I don't care who you are. I don't care what your talents are. I don't know what your personality is like. It doesn't matter. We all have the same responsibility. We are all ambassadors for Christ. We have all the same responsibility to be out there trying to find people that we can share that love with. And you can do it. We got to do it. It's our job. There's only one thing I want to say about that scripture, and it's the very first line, and it says, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. Knowing what it is to be separated from the Lord, and now knowing what it's like to be delivered, don't you want to tell somebody? Don't you want to share the love that you have within you? We try to persuade men. We find ways to get in. We get to know people around us. Those neighbors that you just can't stand because they turn up their music or they're fixing their car out in the yard. They go out and spend some time and sit on a bumper and talk to them and get to know them so that you earn the right to be able to share the gospel with them. That you earn something, you get to know about them and know who they are and be able to share something with them. To be able to break down some barriers so that one day, just at the right time, they're going to come to you and go, hey, you know, I've never asked this of you, but I know you're a Christian, right? Would you pray for something that's going on in my life? How many have had that happen? Isn't that cool? Door open. Now I've just earned the right to say something. With the passion to see lost souls come to a loving Savior, we do and say all we can to persuade men to come to the foot of the cross. With a loving heart and caring words, we speak the truth in love. Not harsh, unloving judgment, but love. I mean, if you flip back to Matthew chapter 22, it says, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command. And the second is like that, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law of the prophets hang on these two commandments. That's to be our message. And I have to share something with you. It's kind of cool, you know. We do have some Christian people that work at this little coffee shop, and that's all great, and we're very open. I don't pull any punches. I will tell you that there's something that I don't tell most of the people that I meet, whether it's there or anywhere else, or any of my employees, and that's what my other job is. As soon as you tell somebody you're a pastor, it like shuts the door. I love it when we go and we fly somewhere, Pastor Jim and Kathy and Kelly and I will fly somewhere. He prays God. They'll sometimes get separate seats because we like to do the cheap seats, you know. And so we'll take the extra seats because they're cheaper. But he prays, God, put me next to somebody who's an unbeliever. And he sits down and they'll ask questions and he'll kind of, you know, so what do you do for a living? Well, I'm in management, you know. Not a lie. But you know what? Because as soon as I say that, then it kind of changes things. But we have this one person. I'm just going to say a person in our coffee shop that we hired not too long ago. And this person was kind of nosy, trying to find out. They even tracked me down after we hired them on LinkedIn to see what I do. As soon as they found out what I did, there was this kind of a wall look. This person made it very clear where they stand. They're very militant about some of the lifestyle choices that are out there and kind of made it very clear that they thought that Christians, you know, they hate. And I'm just like, Lord, oh, what are you doing? I know what he was doing. So we just pray, Lord, how can we get through? What do I need to do? What do I need to say? You need me to stand up on the counter and start preaching the gospel and go to hell? No. No. Just had me treat them with respect and love. The other day we sat down with this person and just to talk about where things are going. I'm going to say it. She's a she. She said, as we're talking, I have a really hard time keeping eye contact with people. But you guys, I feel like I can really easily connect with you. I feel very comfortable around you. Kelly and I walked away from that, and we're like, yes, yes, Lord, we're ready, whenever. I'm waiting for that day. See, my message is done, but my message is this. Let us not close ourselves off to this world. If we are truly who we say we are, we have the responsibility to be ambassadors for Christ, to be out there sharing the good news that there is a God who loved them so much that he sent his only son to die on a cross for them, and that he loves them. Even in their sin right now, he loves them. He loves them because they are his children and he created them exactly the way that they are. And though, you know, that's what they need to hear. They need to hear that there is someone that loves them. We need to open the doors back up to this word and the church and this Savior that we love so much. Amen. We just got to drop some of this garbage that we've been doing. God's cured me of my judgmentalness. Every day there's people that come in and I love it. I don't ever want to look at somebody based on the sin that they have. I want to see past them and I want to see what God sees in them. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for your word, your encouragement, and your second chances, Lord. I've blown it so many times in my walk with you. I'm a sinful man. And I'm not a perfect man, and I never will be until I stand before you. But you give me second chances, and you've allowed us to turn. Lord, we have a church here that's just this fellowship, Lord, I want to pray for right now. I pray for the church as a whole, but right now, the people that are here, that are in this house right now, Lord, I know you've brought us together for a reason. It wasn't just we could sit in a comfortable room and hear good teaching and say amen and close up our Bibles and walk home. What you wanted to create out of us was a force, a movement out into this world that everywhere we go, we would be able to share the love that you have given us that I feel so upon me right now as we're talking. And I know that you're present and your Holy Spirit leads me and guides me and directs me. And I know that I'm saved and the grace that you bestowed upon me just blows me away. And that's what you want us to take out into the world and to find a way that we can share this message with them. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to let down our guard a little bit and get out into the world and see and find those places where there are people who need to know about you. May we infiltrate those places and may we bring your love to those who are lost. We love you, Lord. We thank you so much. I pray as we step up, as we make out our way out this driveway, as we see that little sign off to the side, it's been there for a long time. I think some of us miss it. And it says, you now entering the mission field, that we would take that serious and that we would go out and share the love of Jesus with all the people that we come into contact with. Lord, thank you. You're a great and wonderful, mighty, loving, gracious, patient God. And in your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen, guys. Thank you. God bless. Go out, share the love of Jesus with somebody.